This is the Alpaca Podcast for all things alpaca. If you're an owner, a soon-to-be owner, a want-to-be owner, or are just alpaca mad or love the fleece, welcome to the Alpaca Tribe. I'm Steve Hetherington. Hi, Steve here, and welcome to the podcast for alpaca people. Great to see you again. Do you have a favourite colour? Okay, so not blue. I was thinking of colours of alpacas, not just a random favourite colour. When we used to do open days, we would have a whole bunch of people come, and quite a lot of kids as well. So we developed this ability to have the kids draw on the walls, not to be done at home, though. Do it here. Don't do this at home. So we had a big sheet of paper with a big roll, and we put it on the wall, stuck it to the wall with decorator's tape kind of thing. So it survived. But they occasionally we put it in the wrong place. Didn't put it high enough, or it was too low or something. And they'd kind of go off the edge. So we still had to do a bit of cleaning. But people like blue. So some of the kids drew blue alpacas. That was fun. And I've got a friend who's really into AI, and he keeps doing things with purple alpacas. It generates a picture. The AI generates a picture of a purple alpaca. It's lovely. So, not thinking of those colours, thinking of the colours of alpacas. Now, how many colours are there? So there are shades, but technically there could be as many as 23 plus is, it depends on your list, depends how you approach it. But essentially it goes through from, which way are you going to go? Go from the white ones. We start with the white. You have genuine white. You have off-white, which are kind of what we might call, in the UK we have paint, which is, I don't know what they call it elsewhere, but it's the same name elsewhere, but it's magnolia. It's the colour of a magnolia, which is off-white. It's this kind of little creamy kind of tinge to it. Some of the alpacas, when they went to the shows, were put in the white category, and then they got moved. No, this one's a light fawn. So it got moved to the light fawn category. So the next time they put it in the light fawn category, and at the show they went, oh no, this is a white one. So it's a tricky one in between. So they developed a new colour. And then you got the light fawns. And then you've got kind of mid-fawn, dark fawn, and then you've got light brown. Now, fawn and brown sound like they probably should be the same, but they're not. They are really quite different. And then you go through the browns, and you've got some real rich browns. And then you've got some kind of going to mahogany kind of. It's tipping over into something else, and there's a bit of a tinge of something. And particularly when the fleece is longer, just prior to shearing, you can end up with some interesting colorations. And there's kind of a bronzy almost, that's kind of thing that comes through in some areas. And then you've got, that's the browns going into the blacks now. And then you've got the different shades of black, true black, kind of almost like a blue black. And so then you've got the other ones. Back in the day, we used to call them fancies when they had different colours on. Now, you still get the fancy ones, and they get kind of a splash of colours here and there. It's not really what we want. We want consistent. They're very pretty. No, sorry. Let me take that back. That's not what you want for fleece production. You want solid blocks of colour that you can have the consistency of colour when you blend it and you mix the fleece in together. So that's a challenge when you have splashes of colour on the face or on parts of white on other parts of the body and that kind of stuff. So this is where it can be difficult then to work out what it is. And then you've got the greys, and you've got the rose greys, which are really pretty. And then you've got the Alpalusa, which are the kind of the spotty ones. And it's because people have been developing something new, refining what was already there, going for something that which kind of stood out. And this is difficult when you've only got a few animals. So what are you doing with them? If they've just got a few and they're they're in the field and they're kind of pets or they're companion animals, then that's fine. You don't actually need to have too much worry about whether the blocks of colour are all there and if it's all consistent, etc., etc., because you're not primarily using the animals to produce fleece. If you're primarily going for fleece or you're primarily going for animals that you've got to show and for breeding purposes, then knowing the lineage, knowing the genetics of the parents and going further back to the generations, working out what's going on there so you can try and control what is produced. I do emphasize the word try because it's not easy to do. I know, we'll cross this one with this one and we'll end up with that. You know my story about my lovely Owena, who's beautiful, rich brown color, and she had the whitest baby we've ever had. So you've got the genetics, what's in there, the possibilities that could be expressed in the right combination, but you've also got the genotype, you've got the phenotype, what it looks like. So you've got a brown animal, but actually within her genetics, Owena has got some ability to produce a white crea. And obviously half the chromosomes come from the male, half from the female. Is there a dominance? Yeah, can be. Not absolute. It's not always going to be that white predominates. It's not always that the darker colors are going to also come through. It all depends. And you can't say that because it's a white female, it's going to produce a white offspring. Equally, you know, it just, you can't determine clearly in advance. There's a measure. Now, you're only producing one crea a year, then it's going to take a long time to work through all of this and all the possibilities that are there. So that's why having the family tree, having the genetics, understanding what was going on with the parents and the grandparents, the sires and dams, etc., going back for the generations, can be really helpful. And keeping records. It's still a bit of a lottery, but yeah. So you can't always guarantee what you're going to get when you breed. You can try and you can experiment and you can try the same mix again and see what happens the next time. And you might start to see some patterns emerge. So this is one of the things we're trying to do, is to breed for colors. We're trying to produce a particular good specimen, really good density and coverage. We're looking for fineness, appropriate level, depending on what you want to use the fleece for, but also the consistency of color, so that when you've got larger amounts, they mix in together well without any standing out. So there you go. What's your favorite color? When you look at a group of animals in the field, we deliberately chose ours with a range of bloodlines so that they were not closely related. There was not going to be any problem with the offspring. So you don't want to end up very quickly in a situation where you can't breed going forward with the different bloodlines because they're all too closely related. So we chose a range, but we also chose a range of colors deliberately. So we had a brown, a black, two light fawns and a white. And some of them, you kind of thought that was a white one. Oh, it turns out she's got some definite fawn in there. Oh, and there's a brown spot that's appeared later on. So some of these things become obvious a bit later on, that there's a bit of color there. It makes it complicated, doesn't it? Trying to decide, this is what I want, this is how I'm going to produce it, because it doesn't work like that. It's not mechanical. Over time, you can have a tendency towards and you can start to see patterns. But yeah. So I like a range of colors. In the field, I like them. We had some years when we've had quite a lot of white ones. Or there was one year we had quite a lot of fawn ones. And quite a lot with a little bit of extra color, which might have just been sitting on the surface of the head, as it were. It was like most of the body appeared to be white, and there was a little bit of color on the head, a little bit of fawn coming through, a little bit of coloration on the ears, maybe a little bit darker, a little bit sort of gingery coloration on the backs of the ears, thinking of what in particular. So Pearl is a sweetie, but she's got very distinctive coloration on the back of her ears. And it's something that fully develops over time. Now, how do you tell what color an animal is? Well, you look at it. Ha, yes, it's obvious. Not so obvious. To be clear about what color the animal is, you need to check it at skin level. So you're looking at the fleece down at the skin level. So you have to open the fleece. There's a way of doing that which allows you to see down. It kind of opens up and you can see the structure of the fleece, but also the color down at skin level. And famously, our brown Kriya, when sheared, turned jet black. And Alice has still got that coloration that's dark when we shear her. Although there's a lot of grey hair sneaking in there. Poor old girl. She's getting a bit older, like all of us. A few grey hairs sneaking. So when the fleece grows longer, it tends to colour at the ends and tip over into brown. And there's a few of the genetics that are related. So a few of the darker ones we've got tend to go that way. And that's not uncommon. And therefore, to be sure, you need to check the skin, check the colour of the fleece down at skin level as it's emerging, before it's been affected by environmental conditions or sunlight or that kind of thing. So that's a place to check. Now, we've also got access to colour charts. Difficult in a book to have a printed thing. You can do that, but it's kind of be tricky because you're putting print onto paper, and then if over time that changes, or if it gets exposed to sunlight and it changes, then it's no longer accurate. So you can get a kind of a colour chart which has got little samples of fleece on through the shades, through the different colours, and that's really helpful for deciding which group you're going to put the animals in if you're going to put them in a show. And that's the best way. That's something that the people running the show are likely to use as well. So you've got a reference point that's going to be the same, and you're using consistent approach then. That's always helpful. So these sample cards, you can usually get them from breed societies. So wherever you are, you'll be able to find somebody who the breed society be able to get access. Because obviously you want to be putting the animals in the appropriate colour group if they're going to be going to a show. So a lot of variety, but in bands, in colour bands. So back to my question, what's your favourite colour? Do you have a favourite colour? Steve, do you have a favourite colour? I like all of them. Oh, that's the wrong answer, isn't it? Sorry. Okay, let me think about it. I particularly like the fawns, I think. I like the colour of the fawns. The way it's different in different light and also in slightly different weather. If it's been slightly damp, if you've had a bit of a drizzly kind of day and the fleece gets a bit damp, then there was some of ours in particular, you'd end up with a darker head and then this dark stripe down the back of the neck and along the spine kind of area down the back. And it was not there. It wasn't obviously there. It wasn't visibly there. Clearly it was there. It just, if you give it a little bit of dampness, then it tends to bring out the colour, changes the way the colour is. And obviously that's a little bit more once the fleece has got a bit longer as well. So that was an interesting, and I think probably that coloration was some of my favourites. So we got a mid, a dark light fawn or a light mid fawn. You want to kind of split them up then, don't you? It's a bit of a challenge to try and decide. So, but she was a light fawn really. And that was a gorgeous, gorgeous colour. She had a brown spot that was on her rump, or her side, sort of flank. And then it moved as she had offspring. It moved, and Saren got it on the nose, and it splashes. It's like a band of colour going through the head. So it's over the nose, but it also covers up onto the eyebrows, the tips, the bottom part of the ear, not the tip, not the top tip of the ear, but the bottom part. And this lovely, but very definitely the eyebrows and the eyes themselves look to be darker. Less noticeable once she's got longer fleece. And that's so Saren is, and then her offspring. Brown spot still around the head, on that occasion, but it was kind of more on the top. And again, that was one of the situations where it would be more obvious when it had been damp. So, yes, favourite colours. I like them all, but I think in terms of a group, I like to see the mix of colours. I don't like it just to be monoculture. I know some people do, and that's fine. Quite enjoy seeing a spread of the colours. And I know when we've had some years where we've had a preponderance of one colour or another, and then maybe we've sold some animals, and all of a sudden, boom, because there's a group of them gone, the colour of the herd in the field suddenly changes. Oh, it looks very, very white, or it looks a lot darker because you got some of them are now moved on to new homes. Interesting observations, just those kind of things. So have a look at your alpacas, but have a look at other alpacas. It's helpful at a show, for example, to see the range of colours. Obviously, in the show ring, they're all together, same colour, basically. But I like to see the mix of them. I like to see them in the pens as I sort of wander around and see the different collections of animals, the show team that the breeders have brought to the show, and seeing those, that mix of colours in together. And that's before you get Bukaya and Suri. So the Suri with the longer, almost dreadlock type, the twists, longer, straighter, but in twists. Gorgeous. I love the way it hangs. So a slight difference in the way that reflects the light. So it's the same kind of colour, but it's going to look slightly different. It's all subjective. It's still doing its job, isn't it? But we can have a preference. So what's your preference? Tell me, what is your favourite colour? Don't tell me blue. Drop me a line, steve@alpacatribe.com. What's your favourite colour? See you again soon. And if you can, go spend some time with your alpacas and check what colour they are. Bye for now. This is the Alpaca Tribe, and I'm Steve Hetherington. Have a great day.